Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, the 55th chapter in your Scofield Bible, page 762. That's 762. We'll read three verses here, verses 7 through 9. And then we'll turn to yet another portion of Scripture afterwards. Then, as is our custom, shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. These three verses we will read in unison, verses 7 through 9 of the 55th chapter of Isaiah. Let's read, please. Ready? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Turn now to the book of Romans and chapter 9, page 1203. We will read responsively verses 19 through 24, these six verses responsively. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore planned unto glory? Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day. There's no day like this day, no place like this place. And of course, no one like our God. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for these people who are gathered with us. And whether regular members or those who visit, we pray that you'd unite our hearts and minds in a bond of union that we might hear and know and obey thy word as it's preached from this pulpit in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the subject, the most dangerous question you could ask. I read for you that question without your turning to it. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why? Why? Listen to me. Why hast thou made us thus? I could call the message that, why hast thou made us thus? Or I could simply say the most dangerous question you would ever ask to God is, why? Hope you listen to me. I have been preparing to preach this a long time. I've had the outline tucked away, knowing I should preach it soon. Yesterday I had a wedding, not from an inner circle family, but a very special person was part of that wedding. And that's a little lady who 30 years ago came with her husband and 10 children on a bus to First Baptist Church of Hammond. You don't know her. A few of you do. Maybe most of you know nothing about her. She's always here. Always here. She's a Hispanic lady. And for 30 years, get this now, about 30 years, she's been riding one of our old buses, First Baptist Church of Hammond. Think about that. Not a bus kid, but a bus lady. 30 years. And you know, every once in a while, I like to pick out somebody like that and just show you somebody you don't know. She's always up there in the back. Ms. Espinosa, would you stand, please? Thank you very much. God bless you. Yes, that's good.
Now, the reason that I had to stand is because of that, and also because just about 3 or 4 years ago, she had a little granddaughter who's 6 years old, pretty as a picture. Loved First Baptist Church, one of our blessed kids. She loved this church. She invited folks to this church. She was a picture book child. A lustful man raped her and murdered her. And just a few years ago, that little lady's granddaughter went to heaven. I thought about that yesterday afternoon when I got back to my office, and I was admiring that lady up there and her faithfulness. Not a car to drive, just a bus all these years. And I got to thinking, I think it's time to bring this message. I'm talking to a lot of people today who've asked the question, why? I want to say I think it's the most dangerous question you'll ever ask. Why should the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made us thus? Why did you make me deaf? Why did you make me blind? Why did you make me a cripple? Why did you make me in whatever condition that I am? A dangerous question to ask. I am so thankful today, and I'm not sure this can be very preachy, but I want you to listen to me. I'm so thankful today that my thoughts are not his thoughts, and my ways are not his ways. I'm so thankful that my God is so much bigger than I, that I cannot understand him. And I want you to listen to me this morning. Hundreds and hundreds of you have asked the question, why? I want you to erase that question of your vocabulary before we leave today. Father, bless me as I speak, and our dear ones as they hear, and may today we learn something about the greatness of our God. Amen. I realize we're starting a bit later this morning because of the many visitors that we had. Let me assure you that I will not be preaching past 12:10, and you'll be gone before 12:30, as is always the case. Turn me up just a tad, please, if you would, just a little bit, because we want to chat this morning a lot. I once preached a sermon here. In fact, it's in my little book. I think it's in my book, Strength and Duty. It's called Here, Hereafter, and Afterwards. In that little book, little sermon that I preached here, I said there's some things in life that we don't understand, but that God tells us very quickly why they happened. Then I said there are other things that we won't know now or here and now, but we'll know hereafter. That means that somewhere later in life we'll understand. We'll look back someday and say, now I know. How many of you have ever had something happen to you and you couldn't figure out why in the world happened, but later on you found out why? Raise your hand, would you please? And my hand is up. Yes. Then I said, not only are there some things that we understand now, and some things we'll understand hereafter, that means later on in our lives, but there are some things that we'll not understand in this life. We'll have to wait to understand them in the next life. And the title of the little message was Here, Hereafter, and Afterwards. I use it as an illustration. Take, as a child, my mother would often say some things to me that I understood. I understand why my mother told me to do those things. On the other hand, there were some things that I did not understand. When mother said, I want you to do this, I couldn't figure it out. I thought it was unfair. But after I grew up a little bit and became an adult, then I understood those things. There's some things I did not understand until we had our own children. And I gave them the same command that my mother gave me. So there's some things in life that we understand now, and some things we'll understand later, and some things we'll understand when we get to heaven. I wrote a poem about that, and I hope you'll listen to it. It's called Why. I sat beside a tiny crib and watched the baby die, as parents slowly turned toward me to ask, oh, Pastor, why? I've held the youthful husband's head and felt death's heave and sigh. A widow looked through tears and said, dear pastor, tell me why. I've seen a gold star mother weep and hold a picture nigh her lonely breast and softly ask, why, pastor, why? Oh, why? I've walked away from baby land where stillborn babies lie. A mother stretches empty arms and asks me, pastor, why? I watch my drunkard father leave our home and say goodbye, while mother, looking into mother's face, I ask, please tell me why. I've heard the white-tipped tapping cane, which leads a blinded eye, and then a dark and lonely voice cries, preacher, show me why. I've caught a fiancé's burning tears and heard her lonely cry. She held an unused wedding gown and mutely whispered, why? I heard the cancer patient say, 'tis gain for me to die, then look into his daughter's face and ask your daughter, why? I've seen a father take his life. A widow stands nearby. As little children say, dear mom, the preacher will tell us why. I've seen my mother stand beside two tiny graves and cry. And though she'd never know, never let me know, I knew she wondered why. I heard an orphan faintly say who gazed into the sky, though mom and dad have gone away, my preacher will know why. I tiptoed to my father's throne, so timid and so shy, to say, dear God, some of your own are wanting to know why. I heard him say so tenderly, their eyes are gladly dry, that though they must look through faith today, tomorrow they'll know why. If now they find the reasons that their hopes have gone awry, in heaven they'll miss the joy of hearing me tell why. And so I found it pleases him, and I can testify, I'll just trust my God to do what's best and wait to find out why. I added a stanza of that for this sermon, and this is it. And if perchance I never know in heaven's by and by, I'll trust my God and tell him then, no need to tell me why. If I understand why, listen to me now, if I understand why God does what he does, I would have a God too near like me. I want a God so powerful I can't understand him. I want a God so omniscient that I can't know him totally. I want a God so omnipotent that I can't comprehend his power. I want a God about whom I can say, his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not my thoughts, and my thoughts are not his thoughts, and my ways are not his ways. If I understood why, I would miss the joy of pleasing God. Because the Bible says faith pleases God. If I understood why, I would not have the faith that I ought to have. So I'd like to trust him and have faith in him. And if I never know why. Also, if I knew why, I would feel insecure. If I had a God that I could figure out, I'd feel like I didn't have too great a God. But I want to thank God today that I have a God whose thoughts are not my thoughts, whose ways are not my ways. I do not want a doctor whom I don't have to trust. I don't want a lawyer with no more legal knowledge than I have. I don't want a dentist with no more dental knowledge than I have. I don't want a teacher without more knowledge than I have. I don't want a mother without more parental knowledge than I have. I don't want a pastor without more knowledge about the Bible and God than I. I don't want a druggist without more pharmaceutical knowledge than I have. And bless God, I do not want a God who is not way above me. I want a God who is too strong. Let me give you an example. That's an old story. Wells Walker, one of the men, deacons in our church, used to be a bank over here on State Street, called the Hoosier State Bank. It you joined in with the Gary National Bank, which is now Bank One. The vice president of this bank over here was one of our deacons in First Baptist Church in Hammond. Back under many years ago, we were trying to purchase the Catholic seminary that is now Howells Anderson College. We had to raise $2.5 million in 18 months. We did not do it. We were 2 short weeks away from having to lose the college. We were already meeting there by leasing it, but we had to have $2.5 million. We had $1.3 million, I think it was, or $1.2 million. We were about halfway. In 17 months and 2 weeks, we raised half of the $2.5 million. Now, we've got to have another $1.2 million or $1.3 million within 2 weeks. It looked like we couldn't do it. I heard about a college in Ypsilanti, Michigan, that was about to go under, and they had to have $80,000, or they're going to lose their college. I called our deacons together one Wednesday night before the service, and I shocked the fire out of our deacons. I said, fellas, as you know, we need $1.2 million or $1.3 million to pay for Howells Anderson College. And I don't think we're going to make it. We only have 2 more weeks. Don't think we're going to make it. But I said, there is a college, Ypsilanti, Michigan, about to go under. We can't save our own. We can save theirs. And I would like to recommend that we take $80,000 from the money we have and send it to Ypsilanti, Michigan, and pay off that college. If you can't save ours, we'll save theirs. I recall Wells Walker, the man after whom that building is called, to feed his name, vice president of the bank over here. Wells Walker stood up, scared me to death. He's bank presidents always scare me to death. But he stood up, and he said, Pastor, that doesn't make one bit of sense. And I hope that's what he's going to say. That doesn't make one bit of sense. I am the vice president of a bank. I am in the financial business. We need $2.5 million. We don't have but about half of it. And here you want to give $80,000 away. He said, Pastor, that does not make any sense. And then that good man began to cry. And he said, but if it makes sense to you, Pastor, I'll make a motion we give away the $80,000. That's the way I want to be toward my God. I want to say to God, I don't understand it. I don't know why. But dear God, you do. And you know what's best. And I trust you. I remember when Dr. John Rice and the Sword of the Lord was over in Wheaton, Illinois. I was on the board, the governing board of the Sword of the Lord. And Dr. Rice called a board meeting one day, and he said, I think we ought to move to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, from Wheaton, Illinois, but the board would have to vote, of course, to make it official. So he said, I'd like to go through the group and ask you how you want to vote. But it so happened I was the first one over here. He said, Dr. Hiles, what is your vote? Should it be moved to Wheaton or not? Now, I thought they shouldn't have moved. I thought they should have stayed in Wheaton. I thought that Murfreesboro was not a good place for the Sword of the Lord. I was against the move. But I said, Dr. Rice, I said, are you convinced that God wants this Sword of the Lord to move to Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Are you sure? And Dr. Rice said, yes, I'm sure. And I said, I make a motion that we move the Sword of the Lord to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, you call that confidence in somebody. You call that faith in somebody. And you people that think you know more than all your leaders and more than all your parents and more than all your superiors, you think you know more than, you teenagers think you know more than mom and dad. You ought to realize that mom and dad knew what you know when they were your age and they've had all these years to learn more. I'm simply saying, I won't look to God today and say, God, I can't understand why. Some things I know why. Some things I found out later why. Some things in heaven I found out why. But if I never find out why, you're God, I'm man, you're omnipotence, I'm weakness, you're omniscience, and I'm ignorance, and I trust you as my God. That's the kind of God I want. I want a God to whom I can say, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Rather now as of babes and sucklings, as thou ordained strength, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands, thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all this. Ladies and gentlemen, the most dangerous thing you'll ever do is come to God and say, why shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made us thus? But you say, I just can't figure it out. Well, when you say that, jump up and down and have a conniption fit backwards and say, glory to God, that's how great my God is. I can't understand him. Thank God I can't understand him. I want a God about whom I can stand and sing, O Lord, my God, but I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, how great thou art. I want a God about whom I can sing, a mighty fortress is our God, and not one that this little puny mind can comprehend. God doesn't owe me a why. He's God, I'm man. He's perfect, I'm imperfect. He's strong, and I'm weak. And my job is to trust him if I never find out why. And thank God today, my God's ways are not my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts. I want a God where I can say, holy, holy, holy,
Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I want a God about whom I can say with Job, as he sat there with a disease of a form of leprosy called elephantiasis, with his 10 children buried in fresh graves, and his wife turning her back on him as far as faithfulness is concerned, and his friends turned their back on him, and he's lost everything, and he's sitting in the ash heap of the city of Duff and looks up and says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You'll do some stupid things if you why? God owes you no answers. This is his world. You're his creature. He knows what's best for you. He owes you no answers at all. And I want to thank God again that if he answered me, I couldn't understand him. He's God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I want a God to whom I can say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I want a God about whom I can say there's nothing too hard for him. I want a God about whom I can say that I don't always agree with you. I want a God about whom I can say his ways are not my ways and his truth, his thoughts are not my thoughts. I preached a sermon. Oh, it's been several years ago here. And I made mention about the fact that I don't always agree with God. And I'm going to pull just about 5 minutes out of that sermon and explain to you what I'm talking about this morning. There's some things that God's done I don't agree with. For example, I don't agree with God when he made Jacob a prince. I do not like Jacob in the Bible. He's my least favorite Bible character. I think he may have been a queer. Anybody's making soup while his brother's out hunting, something wrong with him, I tell you for sure. I don't understand why God made Jacob a prince. Not I'd have made him a pauper. I understand it. I don't understand why God called Solomon the wisest man in the whole world. Guy got married 700 times. That only helps on April the 15th. He had 700 wives and 300 substitutes in case one of the 700 got sick. 300, as the farmer said, he had 300 combines. And God said he's the wisest man. I don't understand it. I don't agree with him. I don't agree with God when he called David a man after his own heart. David killed Uriah, stole Bathsheba. Then God, I don't agree with God on that. I don't agree with God in not letting Moses enter in the promised land. Here's a man for 40 years had been on the backside of the desert and for 40 years led the Israelites, and all he did was get mad at southern people. Let me remind you, Yankees, God has built a wall of protection around Southerners. You check in your Bible, you Yankees. You'll find what Moses said, and God said you lost your ticket to the whole land. He got mad and said, whoa, ye rebels! Better watch it. But I don't agree. I think Moses should have gone to the promise. All he did was lose his temper and smite a rock twice. I don't agree with God. Let Lot's wife turn to a pillar of salt. And I don't understand that at all. Look, let me show you what Lot's wife did. That's all she did. And she became a pillar of salt. Now, I don't agree with God there. I don't agree with God here. I don't agree with God when God made Isaac marry somebody you'd never seen. It's obvious Miss Colson did that. But, I mean, Isaac, he never saw the gal, and he had to marry her. I just don't agree with that. I don't agree with God when he had Achan in his family stoned because Achan took a little gold and silver and a Babylonian coat that he shouldn't have taken. I mean, he took something he shouldn't have taken, but he was stoned to death. His wife was stoned to death. His kids were all stoned. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with God. They let Peter preach on Pentecost. Peter, 50 days ago, he was cussing, denying the Lord, saying, I don't know him. I don't belong to the church. I'm not a Christian. And God puts a prayer on Pentecost and lets him preach, and 3,000 people got saved. I'd have chosen John to do that or James, but God chose Peter. And I don't see eye to eye with God on that. I don't see eye to eye with God on killing Ananias and Sapphira because they didn't give God all the profit they made on their house. Or putting Rahab in Hebrews 11. I don't agree with God when he had the party for the prodigal son and didn't have a party for the son that stayed home. I admire the son that never went out into sin more than I admire the son that came back from sin. And yet God had the party for the son that came back. Ida had the party for the son who worked by day and worked by night and stayed home, obeyed his father. And I don't agree with God on that. I don't agree with God calling Abraham his friend. Abraham got a gal pregnant out of wedlock. I don't agree with God putting Noah in Hebrews 11 by faith. Noah got drunk, took off his clothes. Now, wait a minute. I don't agree with God on some things that have happened in my life. But you listen carefully. He's right. And I'm wrong. God does not mind you disagreeing with Him as long as you understand those are your ways, those are your thoughts, those are your ideas, but His thoughts are far above my thoughts. His ways are far above my ways. And so when I don't agree, I trust Him and not myself. I'm glad we disagree. Because if we disagree, it gives me a better chance to trust Him. The purest Christianity, hear me carefully, the purest Christianity is not, I'll find out why someday. The purest Christianity is, I'll trust Him if I never find out why. If I can't understand now, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand later, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand when I grow old, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand when I die, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand the judgment seat, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand when I get my glorified money, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand in the millennium, I'll trust Him. If I can't understand in the New Jerusalem, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. If I don't understand Him, I'll still trust Him, and I am not going to look up and say, why? I'm going to look up and say, I trust. Some of you saw that little six-year-old girl. It was brought to my memory yesterday at the wedding. The grandmother sits up there. We have something in common. You lost the little six-year-old granddaughter in this house, and I lost the little five-year-old grandson. You can't understand why, and I can't understand why. And I say this in closing. I've been through a lot of battles in my life. I bore many burdens. Still do. I've had many heartaches. I've shed many tears. I have often disagreed with Him. But I have never asked why. Dangerous. Never. I want to thank God today for my powerful, omnipotent, omniscient King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to thank God that my ways are not His ways and my thoughts are not His thoughts. There's some security about that. And there's some security about you looking up to God and saying, God, I don't understand why my little granddaughter was raped and murdered. I don't understand why our grandson was tragically killed, being run over after having fallen out of the car, and his mother ran over him, not knowing what was happening. And I don't understand that. But thank God I don't have to understand it. And if in heaven I do not find out why, it doesn't matter. There's a certain kind of a peace about knowing there's somebody in charge that knows why. I'll close again. You didn't cry enough on that one. You crying? You want to get Peebles first. But it's been a year or so ago. A little family in this church, if anybody in this church has a right to ask why, it's them. You know, the Brocks.
I know under with all, several years ago, that God gave them a child. I used too much oil, and they had triplets. Three children. One lived a while and died. The second has a disease that will hound him all of his life. The third is one of the prettiest little blonde-headed girls you ever saw that's been blind now these years. That little couple came to me, and they said, Brother Howes, we don't want our children to be trained in a school that doesn't believe the Bible. We can't send them to heaven Baptist schools. There's no provision for them there. And Brother Howes, we understand that you don't have a lot of money. We understand that. But if would you just take our little daughter's picture? They gave me I think it's 5 or 7, maybe 8 or 10, picture of the little blind, blonde-headed daughter. So just take her picture, and would you pray about starting a school for the Echico soul? I put that picture, that precious little girl, in my prayer list. And every day, I guess a year or more, I've looked at that picture and asked God to give us a school for those people, the Echico soul. I asked God for a building. I didn't rush. Didn't rush anything. Contacted realtor, but didn't rush. Several buildings I could have gotten that weren't what I wanted. One day, Miss Howes and I were driving down Calumet Street past Munster Park. And there was a church there that used to be an American Baptist church. And I simply said to Miss Howes, I'd like to have that building. I had in mind a school for the Echico soul. The next day, I drove by that building and they put a for sale sign up there. The next day, I told the people of the night, I don't have to pray for anything. I just tell Miss Howes I want something. She talks to God about it. He hears her better than he hears me. But now, wait a minute. I went to our deacons and I said to the deacons, fellows, I believe God wants us to start a school for the educable soul. And also in that same building, I'd like for us to start a school for the deaf. Miss Checker's been praying about it for years. And I said, we have a building out here. You can buy it for $800,000. I'd like to see us buy it. Now, wait a minute. Those men don't have any idea what type of school it's going to be except for the educable soul and the deaf. But I've been here 40 years. Listen carefully. 40 years and over 8 months I've been here. I don't hardly ever say to those men, this is what I want. But after 40 years and 8 months, one of the men jumped up immediately and said, I make a motion. I think it was Colonel McCormick. I make a motion. We buy the building. And it was passed just like that. Why? Because I've been here all these 40 years, and I think I've proved myself in these 40 years. Let me tell you about somebody who's been here 40 million years. Let me tell you about somebody always has been, whose ways are above my ways and thoughts are above my thoughts. And he's the omnipotent God. He owes me no answer. And so I'll say, as I added that last stanza to the poem, and if perchance, I never know, in heavens by and by, I'll trust my God until and then. No need. Tell me why. Would you bow your heads, please?